The one place you don't want to end up is Japanese prison, because when I was in Japanese prison, I can use the sentence, when I was in Japanese prison, actually better than our dorm rooms, but they were unheated, and they were pretty scary, because they were some of the only structures that had survived, you know, whole-scale bombing. So they looked like something out of The Ring, or, you know, some haunted place that something was going to come out and get you.
Yeah.
And I took a tour of a prison for people specifically over 65. No one was under 60. They figured that was the safest place we could go, and all the guys in there were there. There were like a couple of old Yakuza who had just screwed up, and few people who cheated on their taxes, but most of the people in there were in there on Japanese assisted suicide laws for killing their wives.
Whoa.
Because their wives were invalid, and they asked them to help. You know, she would ask, you know, for some pills or something, and the man would go get them and let her do that, and then you are therefore a criminal if you do that over there. So that's why that prison was pretty full.
There you go.
Ah.
Noah and Chris have an ongoing argument about it. Which is worse, American prison or Japanese prison?
You're never going to get shanked in Japanese prison.
Well, that's his point. And yet, from having read Doing Time, that I guess we'll talk about later. I'm not sure I've mentioned that on the show yet. But Doing Time is about this guy who goes to prison for having a real gun.
Yes.
Not a good idea in Japan to have a real gun unless you have a really excellent.
You can't even have a knife that's over 2 inches long.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to kill someone who really deserves it.
So he ends up, I think it's 3 years or so.
They're pretty stiff. There was someone with me who got mailed a package of marijuana from a town called Bob Marley, New York. And they thought it would be funny, and they were pretty much ready to deport her for that. And not deport her to any place nice. We're going to send her to Guam. And that was just for having it mailed to her, not because she didn't know a thing about it. And she got out of that only with the help of a Japanese-American professor who happened to know a lot about the law. So they're hardcore. But you will never, even if you go over there and try to assassinate somebody really important, you will never see that universe in Japan, because the Japanese prison system segregates foreigners into separate buildings on separate compounds. You will never be in that kind of environment. You will be with Indonesian drug smugglers and Russian mobsters over there. Yeah.
Better.
You will be in a lot of trouble. As a foreigner, you are in big trouble.
But what they do in Japanese prison is everyone has to walk the same way in lockstep, and they control how you turn your head and when and where you hold your hands, and it's clearly not like this all the time, but it comes up again and again in Doing Time.
Yeah, it's extremely regimented. And
yeah.
From what I was told, that, you know, every morning, much of their morning and evening rituals is actually done in the nude. They must go from their cells to the showers naked and stuff like that.
Yes.
I think we're getting off topic.
But fascinating.
Yes,
fascinating,
yes, quite interesting.
A little bit fascinating.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, welcome to Dragon Radio. I'm Tony Reno, your host, and every week I guide you through best Asian pop, rock, and hip-hop music. All Asian, all music, no English. Except for me, of course. I'm an American living in Hong Kong. I hope you'll join me and listen to the podcast, dragonradio.hk. You can subscribe with any reader, or listen to the live stream, live.dragonradio.hk. And of course, keep on listening to the Ninja Consultant. I wonder if they do taxes.
This is a very interesting anime parallel. Were you at... is it ShoujoCon?
Yeah, there was ShoujoCon that ended, and there was YuriCon.
Yuri, were you at Yuri?
Yeah.
Do you know the person who does YuriCon?
Erica.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met her.
She looks just like... she's like a female version of this guy who dubs anime for a living.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, look, they look alike.
They look alike.
Yeah. It's probably because they have the same haircut, but they look alike. I seriously thought they were related.
Actually, Erica, the last time we saw her was at Winter Comic-Con, because the YuriCon people got a table, and they're like the only foreigners who get a table at Comic-Con.
Yeah,
like,
they know somebody.
Who just come in from out of town. Yeah, they've got a Japanese friend. So it was interesting to be like, hey, it's the Gaijin table.
You go over there. Thing. Yeah, I like that con. I think cons should diversify, because unlike just about everyone who's like an old school fan who's an old timer, I guess that I should consider myself, I think the only way that anime fandom is going to continue to save itself and to keep going is actually to bring in more people. The more people it can bring in, the further it can go, because it's never going to go back to the way it was. We have to pretty much accept that. The more people you bring in, the more you have kind of a segmenting of a larger fandom. The fandom becomes a market, you know, the genre becomes a media for all kinds of different genres, and you have this divergence of people who like certain aspects of it. And that's really the only way this is going to continue to move forward, because in order to move forward, you have to grow, and it's not going to back off anytime soon.
Well, what do you think about this thing in Pennsylvania they're going to be doing next year?
Oh, the no, it's not Pennsylvania. It's Providence, Rhode Island.
Providence, Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
Same.
Rhode Island. Providence, Rhode Island.
One of the other states
you want to care about. So the deal with, so for listeners who may not be in on this, the Providence Anime Con that they're going to have next year is one of the only, not the first, but it's going to be an over 21 con with more of an academic and industry focus. And not, it's not going to be all hentai. That's one of the things they clear up right away. They're like,
oh,
and it's
not
all porn. But they've already, even before making any announcements or setting up a website, they already started receiving tons of complaints from all the kids who are under 21, who want to go to a con, and they're can't accept. Like, you know, some of us are older, and we do want to have a fun time without a screaming Duck Duck Goose game going on in the hall.
Yeah, some of us, you know, got our bones a long time ago, and we don't want to walk down the hall and hear free hugs or see any kind of sign that involves the word glom.
Yeah, or and there are even parents who are like, oh, what am I supposed to do, get a sitter? And it's like, yeah, and then you can have a fun time without your kids.
Right.
If anything, it'll just help.
Not for you.
Yeah. Because at the second Otakon I went to, I got, you know, completely smashed because I didn't know what I was drinking at the time. I wandered into some room. No, this was the third Otakon. This was the first one in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
And
the one that was, like, empty. What year was that?
That was 96. I still have my T-shirt. I have all my T-shirts. I should have just worn
them. Think of the 12 Monkeys. Army of the 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, they're good.
I have that one.
They're envious.
Army of the 12 Otaku. You know, that was the shirt they had the hardest time selling.
That's what you said, but
they had such an excess of those until Otakon became humongous.
Yeah.
And I guess everybody had to have every year.
Well, I tried to get one in 98, and they were gone.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That was the only 4-day con that Otakon has ever been, and that was a mistake.
Was it like a 4th of July weekend?
One day too many.
Yeah, it might have been Labor Day or Memorial Day, but it was definitely a 3-day weekend, but it was rough. And this was in the hotel that had the Pizza Hut in it, which now there's a horror convention at this hotel. So the Baltimore Marriott is actually outside Baltimore. Adam Warren was one of the guests there. That was the first time I ever saw a cosplay of the manga Gold Digger.
Nice.
I'll call it a manga because it looks like a manga. I don't care if it's not Japanese, because it's all a question of style.
Pokemon is the most gay thing ever made. It isn't a real anime and is intended for 5-year-olds like all you people on Neopets, and Pokemon is gays.
Okay.
Post. I can't say gay. I'll push gay with the H.
Yeah, listen to our show. Things like this happen on our show. And you can listen to it and figure out that, wow, these guys are cool. Yeah.
Because we are in sixth grade.
Sixth grade.
And we're doing a podcast. And it'll probably continue. If you like anime, if you like manga, if you like gaming, if you like any of that stuff you used to do in sixth grade. Or just a otaku and want to hear what the new otaku has to say. Listen to our show. Here, I'm going to give you a secret. I'm going to tell you a secret. Go to www.randomizationpodcast.tk.
Randomizationpodcast.tk.
Okay, let's just shorten it. Say, Pokemon is retarded. Post.
Hi, this is Eriday, and you're listening to the extremely special episode of Ninja Consultant. Why is it so special? I have no idea.
Just beep that whole sentence.
One question about old school cons I have. What year did the girls start showing up?
The girls started showing up in 1999, as far as Otakon goes. In 99, that was the year Baltimore burned. It was really bad. There was a whole bunch of shootings. I got lost. I ended up in that crappy part of town.
Oh God.
And Oda, the Baltimore Convention Center, we were actually worried because the thing was empty when we had the convention there. I mean, there were still not a lot of people cosplaying. You know, one cosplayer in a group of people was kind of amazing. I actually put some pictures up in my last video of the very first.
It looks pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's not only was it empty, but there was a whole other convention going on that other side.
Yeah, because I mean, I have my photos from 2002 where like I take a picture down where the waterfall is, and there's
you can see the floor,
and it's like you can still see the floor, for example, not like during the Bleach cosplay shoot and
right in between 99 and 2000 was when two humongous things happened. There was the gender shift and the age shift, and they seemed to go hand in hand. And that was definitely because of Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
Right there. That's the only reason.
I've also heard it in the publishing industry. They say the big changes in 2000-2001 when Tokyopop put out their authentic manga line. Because essentially, they start publishing, like, Sailor Moon and stuff. And that tilted things on the manga end.
When manga was sold in the United States as a, tankobon, instead of the larger size, things that Dark Horse had been doing.
The leaflet comics.
Yeah, and what Viz, originally did. When that changed, then all of a sudden you can open up accounts like Barnes & Noble and things that would not take comic-shaped.
Yeah, because even in 99, 2000, when I went into Borders in Ann Arbor and found the Sailor Moon comics there, I was floored. Because I always check out, it wasn't a graphic novel section then, it was like the humor section, and then next to it was maybe some Sandman comics, if you were lucky. For that particular year, it was such a change where comic book stores had gotten to the point where it was for older guys and the market was closed. No new customers were coming in. So comic book stores were always in the scariest part of town, maybe on the second floor. It takes a pretty tough girl to walk in past giant nude statues, and things were sort of going down.
You can also blame, because a lot of people don't remember this, but you could also blame the actual bursting of the comic bubble for a lot of people migrating there, because all of a sudden the only comic stores left alive were the ones that were around before the bubble. So you had people sitting on top of huge piles of comics they were never going to read.
Yeah.
Because
they bought like four collector's
edition
covers.
Yeah, they bought them with the expectation they were going to be worth money later, and they weren't.
And this was in that bubble happened, in the early 90s?
Yeah, it pretty much, blew itself up right around when the baseball strike happened.
Okay.
When that, I don't know what year that was.
Into my high school, 98.
No, before
97, 96.
Yeah.
96?
96. Everyone's looking at me. I have no
recollection. Well, the only reason I know about the baseball strike is because Saturday Night Live did a bunch of jokes about it.
Yeah.
And, that's when I was watching Saturday Night Live, so it must have been in the later half
that
of the
90s. That tanked the card market, and then the domino effect happened. What happened was I had been buying and selling like a maniac trader out of, Boiler Room. I had been buying and selling comics and never keeping them for more than a week because I knew this was so short-term. I bought 60 issues of Lady Death and I for $5 a piece, and I resold them all for like 40. I was living large. And what I was doing with all this money I was making was I was going to large comic stores that had, Mitch's place, St. Mark's Comics in New York. It's a great place to go get manga because he had both the commercial comics of the day and then manga, a whole bunch of imported stuff. And I would make all kinds of money selling American comics that I would never read and then just start picking up these Japanese things, which I thought were awesome. Yeah, awesome, yeah. And I knew they would never be worth money, so I'm buying the first issue of Ranma, the first issue of Inuyasha. Now I'm having them graded. Ranma's up to what, $192?
Yeah.
Wow, lucky me.
Wow. Now I'm envious now for two reasons, because I mean, I got in on the ground floor, and I've always complained about how I was there before the girls, and then the girls showed up, and I was already too old.
Too old, they were already
gone. Now I'm angry because I was on the ground floor, and I didn't make any money.
Oh, what are you doing, man?
No?
Well, you weren't here yet.
Well, I wasn't in New York.
Yes, you have to be here to get that mindset going.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I had a comfortable income off of the Magic the Gathering card game trade,
Extortion.
But extortion, perhaps. Yeah. Tragic the spending. That's as far as it went.
Well, that was completely unplanned. I mean, I gotta say, I was not, I was buying, these are the only comics, being bought by me, and then, it just kept getting, the group kept getting larger, but these are the only comics bought to actually read them, because they were an interesting story, they had interesting art, and they weren't, a Spider-Man Chromium variant or X-Force by that guy who nobody likes, it was worth reading, and, even though it was like $5, because it was huge and color and thick, you liked it and you carried it everywhere, and I'm just so lucky that I put mine away and then forgot about it and didn't trash it.